Hey, well, good morning, everyone. How are we? So good to see all of you on this, what can only be described as an absolutely frigid Sunday morning, right? It was so cold out there today, so cold, but it's so good to see all of you. For those that are new or visiting, my name is Ryan. I am the lead pastor here at Arbor. Again, it is so great to be gathered with all of you in this relatively warm room, right? I would say it is definitely warmer than outside. We are in the second week of our series on Scripture. We're doing a deep dive on Scripture, and last week, we essentially answered the question, what is the Bible? What is Scripture? And we talked about how the Bible is both divine and human. It's this sacred, layered, sometimes confusing and mysterious collection of writings that most importantly, the big thing that I wanted us to take away from last week is that most importantly, Jesus trusted the Scriptures. We see undeniably through the Gospels that Jesus trusted the Scriptures. We looked at how he understood the Scriptures, how the Scriptures actually shaped Jesus' life. We also looked at this idea that we are now called to, like Jesus, live under the tension of that. A book that's bigger and more mysterious than I think any of us will really fully able to grasp this side of eternity. And maybe for some of you, for those that were with us that last Sunday, if you caught up online, if you weren't with us, maybe you felt like that was a good starting point, but maybe you also find yourself thinking, as we collectively take this journey into the Scriptures, okay, I'm beginning to understand it a little bit better. I'm beginning to understand what the Bible is, but now what? How is this book specifically supposed to help me follow Jesus? What is the connection between Scripture and my discipleship to Jesus? And that's where we're going today. But the first question I want to ask all of you is this. When's the last time that you were going somewhere new, somewhere different, somewhere that you had never gone before, and you didn't punch the address into your GPS or Google Maps or Apple Maps? When's the last time you did that? There are going to be people here in their 20s who've never not done that. I remember growing up, like for me, it was like go to MapQuest.com and print out the directions and have them on the passenger seat. Anyone back for that wild ride? Yeah, that was something else. I heard a Rand McNally reference with the big book. I remember those on family road trips as well. But when's the last time recently, have you had a moment where you're like, I kind of know that area. I don't need to punch it into my GPS. I don't need to put it on my Maps app. I can figure this out. I know this area. How did that go for you? Because if you're anything like me, someone who's relatively new to this area and is just absolutely confounded at who the Seattle area put in charge of these roads that are just truly insane, you probably found yourself turned around, lost, disoriented, muttering to yourself, I should have just used Google Maps. Now, imagine trying to follow Jesus without any kind of map, without any kind of guide. And you know that, like, internally, you want to go where he's leading. We've talked so much about Jesus throughout the Gospel of Mark, and you're like, I want to follow him. I want to go where he's leading. But without something to anchor you, without something to guide you or direct you, you're just guessing. And guessing only works for so long. It only works until you hit a dead end somewhere. It only works so long until you finally realize, man, we have been going the wrong direction for a long time. And that's what Scripture can be for us in our discipleship to Jesus. It can be like a map. It can be like a compass, like a guide. It's one of the, if not the, best way to learn and know how to follow Jesus step by step, day by day. And so here's how I want to dive into this topic this morning of Scripture and discipleship. We are going to go to the Gospel of Luke. So if you have a copy of the Bible with you or a Bible on your phone, you can open that up to Luke chapter 24. If you don't have a copy of the Bible with you, the Scriptures are going to be on the screen. But we are going to a really interesting story near the end of Luke's Gospel. And I think the story is so interesting because in part, I think it's going to be so relatable for us as we read through this story. In this story, we have two disciples. They're walking down this road. They're depressed, they're lost, they're feeling like the wheels just completely came off their faith. Have you ever been there before? Can you identify with that? Maybe you're there right now. I heard a yep back there. Someone's there right now. Maybe we've been there before. Here's a little more context. Jesus has just been crucified, and these disciples, they had put all of their hopes on him. They were all in on Jesus. He was supposed to be the one. He was supposed to be the Messiah. Whoops, sorry about that, Stan. He was supposed to be the king who made all things right. How could this be? How could this really be the end? And they're walking to this village called Emmaus. It's about 7 miles north of Jerusalem. And this walk for them was probably more like a slog. You know what that is? Like a slog. Yeah, kind of like, yeah, I think I know what you mean by that. Like a depressed shuffle, heads down, just like, what is going on? And then in this story, Jesus shows up. And you would think, you know, if you're not familiar with this story, you would think that like Jesus would show up and that this would be the big reveal. And he'd be like, I'm here! It's me! But that's not what he does. That's not what he does. He just starts walking with them. And they don't recognize that is Jesus. It's kind of a goofy story. Look at verse 15. Luke writes this. While they were talking and debating these things, Jesus himself approached and began to accompany them, but look at this parenthetical statement, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. This just feels like such a classic Jesus moment. Like he might have been crucified and resurrected, but he's still like 110% Jesus. Again, he could have entered into this moment and like done this grand reveal, but he doesn't do that. He slides into this conversation unnoticed. They can't recognize them. It's almost like in this moment, just stay with me here for a second, like Jesus wants to teach them something, right? Let's keep going. Verse 21. Jesus asked them what they're talking about. They let him know. They say, hey, we had hoped that he, Jesus, that's who they're referring to, was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Modern translation, we had thought that he was going to be our savior, our king, and he's dead. And it seems like it's all over. And this is where it gets interesting. Jesus doesn't come out with this quick, like I said, it's me, I'm alive. He doesn't like do some amazing miracle. He doesn't start levitating in the middle of the road. He doesn't like turn bright like a light bulb or something like that. Like he does something different. He begins to walk them through the scriptures. He points them to the scriptures. Verse 27, look at how he does this. Jesus starts talking to them. He says, then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, the law and the prophets, this is just shorthand for the scriptures, how they would talk about the scriptures. It says this, he interpreted the things written about himself in the scriptures. And let's just take a moment to unpack that. Like I said, Jesus could have proven and shown his identity in like so many different ways. He could have performed a miracle right there on the road, but he doesn't do that. He opens up the scriptures. Why does he do that? Why does he choose this way? He chooses this way because Jesus wants them and us to understand that the scriptures are all about him. They point us to him. This isn't just some collection of random laws and prophecies and inspirational quotes and wise sayings. It is those things, but it is also, listen, a unified story that finds its fulfillment in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Bible scholar N.T. Wright, he puts it this way. The Bible is not simply a repository of true information about God. It is the story of God's mighty acts in history, culminating in the person and work of Jesus Christ. See, someone's way smarter than me said it. You can trust him, okay? It's like this. Think of it like this. Have you ever rewatched a movie that had some sort of amazing twist surprise ending? And as you're rewatching it, you already know the surprise twist at the end, and you start to see like all the clues they were giving you along the way? Like The Sixth Sense, when you find out Bruce Willis is dead the whole time? I just spoiled the whole movie for you guys, I'm sorry. The movie's like 25 years old though, all right? Like you should have watched it by now. Here's the point. The second time through, everything clicks. everything clicks. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's showing these disciples that all the hidden clues in the scriptures, the promises to Abraham, the sacrificial system, the prophecies in Isaiah, they're all pointing to him. And then in this story in Luke 24 comes this incredible line right here, one of my favorites in the whole story. After Jesus walks with them, just walking alongside them on this road to Emmaus, walking them through the scriptures, it finally clicks. And they recognize who was walking with them and who was talking with them. And they say this, look at verse 31. They're like, wait a second, were not our hearts burning with us, burning within us while he was speaking with us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? They're like, wait a second, that guy, that was Jesus. That was him. He's alive. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you felt that burning within your heart? And I'm not talking about like when you ate like a spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, okay? I'm not talking about heartburn. I'm talking about this deeper sense because you encountered Jesus in the scriptures. When's the last time? Because I think for many of us in this room right now, it's probably been a while, yeah? It's probably been a while. The Bible right now might feel more like a task than something we really look forward to. When we read it, if we ever get around to reading it, we typically read it out of obligation. And when it doesn't immediately like fire something up within us, when we don't sense those fireworks, we just set it aside. But here's the thing, the disciples in this moment, they didn't feel this burning in their hearts on the road because they had all their theological questions answered. They didn't feel this burning in their hearts because they had accomplished some sort of religious task or finished their Bible reading plan or something like that. They felt this burning in their hearts because through the scriptures and walking alongside them, they encountered Jesus. They met with Jesus. And the same can happen for us. It can happen for us when we see the scriptures in light of Jesus. The text moves from just being words on a page to something alive, to something that confronts us and stirs us up and wakes us up. And that's the beauty of this story. Because the disciples started their journey to Emmaus sad, lost, hopeless, discouraged, but by the end, they had encountered Jesus through the scriptures, and they're running back to Jerusalem with their hearts on fire to tell their friends and fellow disciples. So what about us, though? We read this story from 2,000 years ago. Is scripture still this powerful today? Can it still do this for us today? I'm hearing mostly yeses, so as long as you believe that, we can just wrap things up. We're done here, okay? Yeah. It is, yes, and I'm glad to hear those responses. If it reveals Jesus, if this book can shape us, give us the strength to keep going, then here's the question. How do we actually engage with it? How do we actually engage with it? What does it look like in our lives and our discipleship to Jesus to build rhythms with this book? To build rhythms with this book in a way that are sustainable and transformative. How do we do that? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how we can engage with this book, with the scriptures, in a way that transforms us. Because if we're saying here this morning that scripture has the power to reveal Jesus, and it most certainly does, if it has the power to shape us, if it has the power to strengthen us and open our eyes to the life that God has called us all to live, what does this actually look like in real life? How do we engage with the scriptures in a way that doesn't feel like a chore or another task added to our to-do list, but how do we engage with this book in a way that stirs us up and sets our hearts on fire like it did for those disciples? How do we do that? I've got a few things that I want to share with all of you, just five simple things. If you're taking notes, you can write some of these down. But here's the first thing I would just share with all of you. As we read scripture and we want to read it in a way that's transformative but also sustainable, stop reading the Bible for information. Start reading it for relationship. Stop reading the Bible to gather biblical facts or information or just to understand it, and start reading it for relationship For so many of us, I think the Bible feels like some sort of weird textbook or historical thing, something for us to study and dissect and understand. And certainly there is a component of reading an ancient document where that's going to happen. And we're going to encounter really confusing things that don't make sense to us. But the Bible is not primarily about information. It is about relationship. Again, think about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus didn't give them a theology lesson. He didn't lecture them. He walked with them, and he opened the scriptures in a way that showed that it was all about him, that it pointed to him. The Bible is a place where God meets us. It's not a place where we just learn these facts about God. It's about encountering the God of the universe in relationship. And so just some practical advice, real simple. If and when you open your Bible, start with a simple prayer like this. Just a simple prayer as you read. And say something like, God, meet with me here. Show me who you are and meet with me. And don't rush to finish what you're reading. We'll talk about that in just a second. Slow down and ask relational questions. Like what is this text teaching me about Jesus or about who God is? And what is, this is really important, what is God inviting me to do in this? How is he inviting me to trust him or understand him or walk with him in this passage? Read it with relationship in mind. Here's another piece of advice to engage with scripture in a transformative way. Again, slow down and soak it in. We talked about this last week. Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season." Again, that word for meditates, like we saw last week, is that Hebrew word haga, which means to chew on, or even to like mutter to yourself, to dwell on, to let scripture soak into your soul. It's not about cramming chapter after chapter into your brain, but it's allowing a little bit of scripture just to settle into your soul. Meditate on it. I think many of us treat the Bible like fast food. We just skim through it. We check the box. We read through and we move on with our day. Listen, it is not meant to be digested quickly. It's meant to be savored like a slow-cooked meal. And just let it sit. And again, some practical advice here. Choose quality over quantity. Choose quality over quantity. Instead of reading like three chapters a day, if you're starting to read scripture, read a verse, read a passage, just read a story and sit with that for the day, for the week, and read it over and over again and let it just soak in. Or try this. Try this ancient practice called Lectio Divina. And that might sound really weird, and you're like, where are we going? This is weird. It's just a Latin phrase. It means divine reading. Ancient devotional way of reading scripture. And here's how that looks like. Lectio Divina, you just start by reading the passage. Slowly read the passage and notice what stands out. Then meditate on it. And by that, here's what we mean. Reflect on a phrase, or maybe as you're reading the passage, a word that jumps off the page, that catches your attention. And then pray. Begin to talk to God and talk to him about what you're noticing. Ask him about it. Dialogue with God about it. And then just sit with it. Don't ask questions. Don't talk. And just sit with God. With your questions, with your thoughts, with the text. And let the truth sink in. That might seem a little different. Maybe it seems even a little strange for you. Totally optional. Just throwing it out there. Okay? Another devotional way to read. Again, just slow down and soak it in rather than speed up. Here's another thing. Number three. Engage with the Bible with your whole life. Engage the Bible with your entire life. James 1:22 puts it really bluntly. He writes this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Can it get any more clear? James is just like, just do it. Do what the text says. The disciples on the road didn't just hear Jesus explain the scriptures to them, and they were like, oh, that was cool. That was Jesus. No, they responded with their lives. They went from aimlessly, dejectedly walking and slogging their way to Emmaus to sprinting with their hearts on fire with purpose back to Jerusalem. The scriptures are going to invite us to take action with our lives. And here's how I mean this practically. The scriptures are going to invite us to forgive the person that we want to hold that bitter grudge against. That the scriptures are going to invite us to be generous with our time and with our resources and with our money when we want to hold that tightly and feel safe. The scriptures are going to invite us to serve other people when we want to sit back and be served. Engage the Bible with your whole life. Scripture will only transform your life if you let it move from the page to your hands and feet. So some practical advice. As you read, ask yourself, what would this look like in my life today? For example, if you're reading Philippians 2 and Paul says, do nothing from selfish conceit or selfish ambition, ask yourself, who can I serve today? How can I live my life in such a way where I'm not thinking about accomplishing my own ends all the time, but how can I live in such a way where I'm looking to bring goodness into other people's lives? When you read Psalm 23 and you hear about this good shepherd, think about how can I more actively trust that good shepherd in my life today? What are things that I can let go of and give control to God instead of try to control that myself? Engage the Bible with your entire life. Number four, don't go at it alone. Don't read it alone. This is probably the hardest one of the five things I'm going to share this morning because it's a lot easier to just cloister up in our own rooms reading scripture by ourselves. And listen, that's a very valuable thing to do. But scripture really comes alive when you read it with other people. I mean, again, just think about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're walking to Emmaus. Jesus comes along. He begins to explain the scripture. And then they start to talk about it together. And their hearts burn. I just imagine that as they're talking about the scriptures and they're starting to see them come alive and they're seeing Jesus in the text and they're having dinner later on that night and they're talking about, oh my goodness, it was Jesus, because they were still meditating and reflecting on the scriptures. Their hearts were coming alive because they were doing it in community. So listen, don't go at it alone. Find a friend. Read it with your spouse. Even start like a group text thread or something like that where you're all reading a chapter a week and you're talking about it on that text thread. It would make text threads a lot more valuable, probably, right? Start a weekly rhythm with a few people. Pick a passage. Just don't go at it alone. And then finally this, and this is so important here. Give it time. Be patient. Give it time. Because the truth is transformation doesn't happen overnight. Listen, the disciples encountered Jesus. And one thing we have to note here is they were not transformed in that moment. That their hearts burned and their eyes were opened in that moment, but they were not changed. They made decisions that were different. They left Emmaus and went to Jerusalem, but it was the beginning of a journey. Again, remember Psalm 1. Psalm 1 talks about the person who meditates, Haggah, on the text day and night. And they're like a what? They're like a tree planted by water. Do trees sprout up overnight? I don't know. I didn't do research on this. I have no idea how trees grow. No, they don't, right? They take time. It takes time for the tree's roots to settle down in the ground. The fruit only comes in season. It takes time. And that's how scripture works in our lives. Day by day, moment by moment, it shapes us. And so some practical advice here. I don't really have any. Just give it time. It's slow. It's going to take time. Build this rhythm day by day, month by month, year by year. You're going to have seasons as you're reading scripture where it feels fallow, where you don't feel connection to God. But give it time. Give it time. So to summarize all of that so far, again, the Bible isn't just about reading words on a page. It's not just about gathering information. It's about meeting with Jesus and being formed into the kind of people who are like Jesus and who do what he does, who live and love like Jesus. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't just learn something new. They were compelled, they were propelled to change. They went from hopeless to hopeful. They went from wandering to sprinting with a purpose. And again, listen, I believe that this same thing can happen for us. It can happen for us when we engage with the scriptures, when we slow down, when we let it soak in. It moves us. It moves from just being a task, this reading of scripture, to over time, being something that guides us and leads us and strengthens us. But again, I know what some of you are even probably feeling as we wrap things up this morning. Some of you are probably feeling like, again, this sounds good in theory, but I know how I'm going to respond when I leave this place and I go back home or I wake up tomorrow morning. I've got the best intentions in my heart right now, but life is so busy. I've got bills to pay, emails to respond to, kids to feed, a house to keep clean. I've got this terrible coworker that works in the cubicle next to me. Like, there's so much going on in my life. There's so much. Where am I supposed to find the time or the headspace to engage with Scripture? And again, let me just say, like, I get that. Life is full. And this isn't meant to just be another task added to an already full to-do list. Here's the thing. Reading Scripture isn't just about adding another task. It's about anchoring your life. That's what this is about. Again, when we go back to that analogy of the GPS or the Google Maps app, you know, thinking I can make it there on my own. That destination, that place that you have in your mind about like what a good life looks like. I think I can get there on my own. And again, if you're anything like me, living here 2.5 years, thinking you can do that practically speaking in the Seattle area, you will probably end up on some dirt road with your brights on and a bunch of cows staring back at you. At least that's my experience living up in Snohomish. Okay, I know it's a little different in Woodinville. That's life without Scripture though. And so again, the Bible isn't here to weigh you down, listen to this, with more rules, make you feel bad about yourself. It's here to guide you. It's here to show you where to go. It's here to redirect you when you veer off course. It's to keep you grounded when life feels like it's chaotic. And the really amazing thing about Scripture is it's not just a GPS or a companion guide or something to lead you. It's also a companion. It's Jesus himself. Like, remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't have it all figured out. They were confused, they were discouraged, but Jesus shows up with them in that moment. He walks alongside them. He doesn't scold them for not understanding. He doesn't tell them, you guys need to get your act together. How could you have not picked up all the clues that I shared with you as you were journeying with me all those years? He doesn't do that. He opens the Scriptures again with grace and with mercy, and he opens their eyes to the bigger picture. That's the invitation for all of us. When we open the Scriptures, we're not just opening the Scriptures for information. We're not even just opening the Scriptures for inspiration. We're opening them to walk with Jesus. He's there, meeting us with in our questions and in our doubts, and even when we're distracted, he's there to show us who he is. He's there to remind us who we are, and he's there to show us how to live in this world that he's created. The disciples didn't, again, feel their hearts burn because they had some of their theological questions answered. Their hearts were burning because they met with Jesus. They met with Jesus. And that's the invitation for all of us, to walk with him, to let this book shape our lives, and let it remind us of the bigger story that we are living in. And so this week, as you go about your life, you know, you're feeding the kids, following up on those emails, as you deal with that office nemesis, as you deal with all those things, let's just take a moment this week. Let's open our Bibles. Let's walk with Jesus. We begin that journey with him, okay? Let's stand. Let me pray. Father in heaven, deep in our hearts, we want to know you. We want to encounter you. We want to be reminded that you're real. And there are many moments, many seasons in this life that we can feel all alone, that we can feel directionless, that we can feel hopeless. And yet we see in your Scripture today disciples just like us walking on a road hopeless, lost, distracted. And yet you meet them there on the road, not in the miraculous, but you meet them in the Scriptures. And so, Lord, we thank you 2,000 years later to have these Scriptures preserved, to have access basically whenever we want. But, Lord, it's not just about the information, God. We want relationship with you. And there's a lot about this book that we don't understand. There's a lot that confuses us about it. But God, we pray, Lord, I pray that even this week, by your grace and mercy, that anyone this week who opens up that book, Lord, that you would meet them in that space. That we would encounter you through the text. And that our hearts would burn within us. We might not have all of our questions answered. We might be uncertain about a lot of things. But Lord Jesus, we pray that as we meet you in the text, our hearts would burn with the passion to live for your glory. That's what we long for, God. I pray this in your son's powerful name. Amen.